Kingdom greetings to each one of you. You know, this morning I want to take some time to talk to you about in Christ realities, some of the realities that are in Christ. As you take time to honor the Lord with your what you bring, you can always, Sam already said it, but I know most of you give online. But yeah, thanks for your generosity. And you cannot outgive the Lord. You cannot outgive the Lord. The Lord's good, right? Do we have more than 20 reasons this morning to worship God? Do we? You know, I mean, I know in this cold weather, I told you I'm not complaining, okay? But in this cold weather, sometimes or in life, whenever I'm feeling low, call your name. It's okay to feel low. It's okay to have a day where you really feel like, you know what? I hear people say they feel like crap. You know, it's a very bad word, but sometimes I'm wondering, why do they say that? It's just you feel miserable. It's okay if you wake up a day, or especially nowadays, you really feel miserable. But then you know what you can do? I'm trading my feeling like crap. I'm trading my heaviness. I'm laying them down. The joy of the... No, we don't have time for this. Seriously, you trade your heaviness for praise. Trade your heaviness for praise. Do we know a praise song? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my... Let's try this. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. So what we're going to do something. So you don't have to stand up, but we're going to do this. You need the banjo, but we're going to do something. We're going to do bless the Lord of my soul a little different. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Come on, help me out. Oh my soul, worship his holy name. Feel like that. Oh my. Okay, hang on. Let me see. Do this. Now while you're clapping your hands, do this. Ready? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Okay. You see now, even physically, if you're feeling heavy, the spirit of heaviness, because I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel the spirit of heaviness, the worries of life, the, you know, I've got some stuff I need to take care of for my family, just the worry in the past week and a half is just heavy on my shoulders. You know, it's like, and if I don't break out and praise the Lord, that spirit of heaviness come and lays on me. And then what do? I don't want to get out of bed. Or even if I wake up, I feel so heavy. Right, Chris? Amen. You know, the Bible says, why so downcast, O my soul? And when our soul is downcast, it reflects on our face, of course. But I tell you, one thing I can do.
Even if I can't break out the guitar, like you can't do it like me and then, you know, hang on, I'm going to help you out. You guys going to clap, ready? Go ahead. Go ahead. Clap. Okay, here we go.
Bless the Lord, my soul, oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh, my soul. Worship Your holy name.
One more time, bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, my soul, oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship His holy name.
Thank you, Dan. You see now, even like tomorrow morning or this afternoon, you know, you feel like, man, so much. Same thing, going, you know, in the kitchen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I mean, the kids or your husband might start thinking you crazy. It's okay. You remember David? He didn't care. He made a choice to praise the Lord. And this is the image I wanted to put in your brain this week as you continue to face the responsibility at home, at work, just people's anxiety, people's fear, you know, COVID and all this stuff. I want you to be intentional about, hey, bless the Lord, oh my soul. I know some of you think you can't dance, but you don't have to. Just do this. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship Your holy. You know, so I'm doing this to just give you a point of reference. Yeah, I'm gonna feel silly. You know how good it is for your soul to feel silly? Sometimes we're too serious. Have fun in the Lord. The Bible says, delight yourself in God. And I encourage you with this morning. Delight yourself in the Lord. Break out dancing. Dancing is good for you. It's a good therapy. What are you going to do if you really don't want to dance? By standing on the wall. What are you going to do if you really don't want to dance? I mean, you guys heard it, right? What are you going to be so stiff standing against the wall? Dance. Find a song and dance.
Oh, I don't dance.
It's okay, but I hope you hear me this morning. Encouragement number two, before I get to this introduction. Psalm 91. It says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest. They will find rest. Where? In the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare of the Lord. He alone is my refuge. God alone is my refuge. He alone is my strength, my place of safety. He's my God, and I'm trusting Him. Remember this. Underline that in your Bible. If you want rest, well, dwell in His shelter. Dwell in the Lord. Dwell in His word. Dwell in praise, in worship. This morning we come together to celebrate what He has done for us. We came together this morning to encourage one another. You know, I don't know if you guys, I was going to bring it, but I forgot it. I don't know if you guys have journal, if you like. Write a journal. I mean, this is no journal. How many of you here missed the bulletin? Let me see your hands. Okay. No, don't be shy. If you missed the bulletin, let me see it again. All right. It's good to take notes on the bulletins, but I would strongly encourage you to bring the church not only your Bible, but also your notebook, your journal. I mean, fortunately, some of those people didn't write their names on these, but you know, I spent some time here during the week. So I walk around, I pray, but I also find things. And sometimes I find people's notes. Like I said, none of those notes have any name on them, but some of them are amazing notes that the Lord's speaking to or talking to those people. I wish I knew who the note belonged to. But I'm thinking, if only you brought your, or even take it on your phone, on your note, some of the things God's speaking to you. When God speaks, write it down. It's always good to go back. And sometimes, if you don't write it down, you don't remember it. Even this afternoon, you don't remember it. So if you write it down in your, you know, journal, it's a good habit to write down, to journal. Especially when you spend time in the Bible. Take time to write it down. So if you lost your notes, I have them. Good stuff. And then for the bulletin, we'll see what happens. In Christ's reality. Open your Bibles in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Let's read the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. You find it? By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. What does that mean? Let's read together. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. When Adam sinned, sin entered the entire human race. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone. For everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given. And though there was no law to break, since it had not yet been given, they all died anyway. Even though they did not disobey an explicit commandment of God, as Adam did. What a contrast between Adam and Christ, who was yet to come. And what a difference between our sin and God's generous gift of forgiveness. Amen? What a difference. Should underline this. But what a difference between our sin and God's generous gift of forgiveness. For this one man, Adam, brought death to many through his sin. But this other man, Jesus Christ, brought forgiveness to many through God's bountiful gift. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of what God's gracious gift is. One man's sin, for Adam's sin led to condemnation. But we have the free gift of being accepted by God. Even though we are guilty of many sin, verse 17, the sin of the one man, Adam, caused death to rule over us. But all who receive God's wonderful, gracious gift of righteousness will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Verse 18. Yes, Adam's one sin brought condemnation upon everyone. But Christ's one act of righteousness makes all people right in God's sight and gives them life. Because one person disobeyed God, many people became sinners. But because of one other person obeyed God, many people will be made right in God's sight. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful kindness became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful kindness rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this is the good news. You know, a lot of times, a couple years ago, it kind of grieved my heart because I used to listen to a couple preachers, especially the what they had a name for those guys. Some people their sermon is surrounding around. Most of the time, their sermons surrounding around helping people to understand they're so bad. Man, you're so bad. You're so pervert. You're so evil. You know, it's like there's always condemnation. You're such a liar. You're such a cheater. We all fall short. This is it. We all fall short. Yes, we all fall short. But the message doesn't stop there. I would rather focus on the fact we all inherit death through Adam, but the free gift given to us by Jesus Christ. That's why I said here, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. What does that mean? It means sin, of course, came to the earth through Adam's disobedience. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, verse 14, verse 17 says that. Just read it. Both spiritual and physical death is a result of sin. You know, that's why, I mean, people will die, whether somehow or people die. This is part of sin. Our physical body will die. But then the worst thing is spiritual death, not physical death. That's why I think this morning, even under this, can anybody tell me what spiritual death means? We all know that what physical death is. Physical death means there is no living breath in this physical body. When someone dies physically, it's done. And you have to do something with the body. But then none of us here should be afraid of physical death. I mean, you're like, man, why am I talking about death? Well, that's part of living. But if you think about it, people don't want to think about death. I mean, who in their right mind, unless they want to go visit their relative's gravesite, who in the right mind would be like, well, let's go for a promenade at the cemetery? Nobody does that. Because the cemetery is where you lay to rest a dead person. But when you think about it, Jack Frost said it. The best thing that could ever happen to a believer is death. Well, it says it in Psalm. God rejoices on the death of his saints. Now, what does spiritual death mean? Spiritual death means separation from God. Someone who is dead spiritually, you separate from God, meaning you're still in your sins. Meaning you haven't repented and confessed and accepted God as your Savior and Lord. That's what it means. Spiritual death also means that Satan is your father. John 8:44. Let's read it. John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus said, now remember, in the previous verses, there's a conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees. The Pharisees were saying, well, we are sons of Abraham. We belong to, they were actually telling Jesus, you know, you're so evil. You are evil. You don't even know Abraham. We are sons, descendant of Abraham. And then Jesus, verse 42, Jesus told them, if God were your father, you would love me because I have come from God. You know what happened to the Pharisees? The Pharisees, even as smart they were in their knowledge of the law, they fell to recognize that Jesus was the Messiah. They failed to recognize it. So then Jesus went on saying, I'm not here on my own, but my Father sent me. Verse 43, why can't you understand what I'm saying? And he gives them the answer. It is because you are unable to do so. Verse 44, for you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. And I know when talking about in crisis reality, even this message I'm presenting right now, it's a very unpopular message. You start talking about sin, repentance, spiritual death. But guess what, guys? Thank God if you have spiritual life. I have eternal life, spiritual life. How many people here has spiritual life? Or you better know that you have spiritual life. Because if you don't have eternal life, spiritual life, when that rendezvous come with death, because we all have that rendezvous, we all have that appointment with death. We don't know the time, the day, the hour, the year. Some of us might think, well, I might die in 5, 6 years, 20 years, and you might, you know, you think I'm young. I might be thinking, man, I have another 30 years, and guess next month, God's like, come on, Carter, I need you home. Come on over. That's why everybody, all of us should live like today would be the last chance. I said, this is one of my New Year resolution. I'm living with no regrets. I'm living every day. I'm doing the things I'm supposed to do. I'm taking the responsibilities I'm supposed to take. This world needs hope. I'm going to bring hope. I'm going to support my family. I'm going to love God's church. I'm going to be a responsible citizen. I'm not going to look down on people. I'm going to accept them where they at. Acceptance is not tolerance. I'm going to love them where they at. I'm going to forgive them no matter what. I'm not going to live with regrets. And I'm inviting you to do the same thing. Because we say Jesus is coming back. Of course he's coming back, but he's coming for a pure bride. It could be collectively, all of us, we gone, or individually. He calls you or he calls me. So let's try this again. What does spiritual death mean? First of all, it means separation from God. And we don't say that with any judgmental attitude. And we aren't supposed to judge anybody. But we know anyone who is not in relationship with the Lord is in spiritual death. So therefore, what do we do for them? We pray. We ask that the Lord would open their eyes so they could see, hey, you know, this life, there's more to it. Spiritual death also means that Satan is their father. Number 3, spiritual death means having the devil's nature. Now, let me explain this. Now, the devil, Satan, he's the father of lies. He's the father of darkness. So therefore, anyone who has Satan's nature lives in darkness. Oh, yeah. Because their mind is obscure. It's dark, darkened. The veil is still there. That's why they don't have any conscience. They can kill, they can steal, they can destroy. That's what the only thing that should make the difference between us and people in the world is when you do bad things, you shouldn't be able to sleep. Let's say accidentally talking, okay? It's an accident. Talking to the guys or the girls. You know, you go, even some of the young kids, young teenagers, you know, you parents, I ask that you keep checking on your kids, talking to them, educate them. Because if you don't, school will do it. The internet will do it for you. Facebook will do it for you. But then if I started to do the things I'm not supposed to do and I can easily sleep, oh, I should check my electric meter, my relationship with the Lord. When you sin, you shouldn't be able to sleep. All your bones should be cracking. Relationship with my wife. If we get into a fight, it's okay. But as long as we work at it, we fix it. But if her and I, we start fighting, and I give her the cold shoulder, and I went to bed, and the next day I woke up, no good morning, or even if I say good morning, it's you know, those things. If you've been married, you know what I'm talking about. You don't want to say good morning, but you know what? Since she's here, you're like, Well, how do I pray? How do I prepare a sermon? How do I come here? Doesn't work. Same thing for her. So spiritual death, a person in spiritual death won't have any conscience to bother them. That's why I'm going to challenge you today to keep your conscience clear. How do you do that? When you sin, your conscience is going to tell you, hey, that was bad. This is wrong. The more you listen to your conscience, the better it is. A better guide it is. The more you stop listening, the less you listen to it, your conscience becomes hard. It doesn't say anything anymore. Then you become callous. It's like, you're used to it. And lastly, spiritual death means you cannot stand in the presence of the Lord. That's why people that are in spiritual death, if you're not careful, they always think the church is judging them. Yeah. But when you're in spiritual life, when you have spiritual life, eternal life, when you are in relationship with Jesus, yeah, your home group, your pastor, your cell leader, your friend, your good friend might challenge you to do the right thing, to serve God. But because you are in spiritual life, because you are in relationship with the Lord, it might not feel comfortable, but you're going to want it. You're going to want it. If man is ever to be saved, someone needs to pay the penalty for his sin and give him a new nature. Does our world need Christ? Does our world need Christ? We all can agree that America needs Jesus. Oh, yeah. America needs Jesus. I need Jesus. We need Jesus. So what are some of the realities in Christ? Now, open your Bibles in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1:10. The shedding of the blood before Christ. Let's go reading that. Let's go to read that. Oh, man, this is good. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1-10. So if someone asks you today, what does spiritual death mean? What would you tell them? Maybe you took notes. But Satan is someone who is in spiritual death. It means Satan is their father. They have the dark nature. They can't stand in the presence of God. Christ is sacrifice once for all. The old system in the law of Moses was only a shadow of the things to come. Not the reality of the good things Christ has done for us. The sacrifices under the old system were repeated again and again, year after year. But they were never able to provide perfect cleansing from those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped. For the worshipers would have been purified once and for all, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But just the opposite happened. Those yearly sacrifices reminded them of their sins year after year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goat to take away sins. That is why Christ, when he came into the world, said, "You did not want animal sacrifices and grain offerings. But you have given me a body so that I may obey you. No, you were not pleased with animals burnt on the altar, or with the offerings of sin for sins. Then I said, 'Look, I have come to do your will, Father, O God, just as it is written about me in the scriptures.'" Verse 8, Christ said, "You did not want animal sacrifices or grain offerings and animal burnt on the altar or other offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them, though they were required by the law of Moses." Then he added, "Look, I have come to do your will." He canceled the first covenant in order to establish the second. And what God wants is for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Verse 11. Under the old covenant, the priests stand before the altar day after day, offering sacrifices that can never take away sin. But our high priest offered himself to God as one sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down at the right place of highest honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled as footstools under his feet. You see, now, I mean, we're getting in the year, sometimes we're going to celebrate Easter. And I would encourage you, go home and read the rest of the chapter, because this chapter will help you understand the difference between the sacrifices before the arrival of Christ. And it will also help you understand when Jesus died on the cross, that before his last breath, he said, "Oh, it is finished." Meaning, he offered his body as a sacrifice for our sins. And the Bible says, at that moment, that big curtain that separated people from coming in the presence of the Lord ripped from top to bottom. Meaning everybody now have direct access to Father. We don't have to burn any sacrifice. The only thing you got to do is put your trust in the Lord. Trust him. Confess with your mouth that he is Lord. You see, when I read Hebrews chapter 9, like I said, I encourage you to read the whole chapter. God's special instruction to Moses concerning the law and priesthood and shedding of blood and covenant. This chapter will help you understand that. Before Jesus came, blood was offered to cover sins. There is no blood, no animal that could erase sins. See, the blood of Jesus erased sin. That's why when you confess your sin, imagine how is that even possible. Because we, in our human mind, we don't forget. We even remember our own sins. Oh yeah, we remember. Unless the Lord really does a miracle in our mindset. But some of us here, we remember things I remember. I don't have the same pain, sorrow, but we remember. But there's no guilt. There's no condemnation. Even if I remember my past, it's good to remember your past. There shouldn't be any condemnation. See, God doesn't remember our past. Wow. He doesn't. He's not even holding your past against you. See, in religion, religion complicated it for us. Because sometimes it feels a lot better if when you do something to gain something, right? You do something to gain God's grace. Nothing. You don't have to do anything to gain God's grace, to merit God's grace. See, blood that's shed before the coming of Christ, that blood didn't purify our souls. Those blood did not bring eternal life. Those blood did not blot sins, nor bring immortality. See, the blood of Jesus brings eternal life. This blood did not cleanse men's conscience before Jesus came. The blood of the bulls, the goats, the cows, you know, whatever other animals people had to sacrifice. But this is the good news. Christ became your sin offering in Christ's reality. And I can say, hallelujah, Christ became my sin offering. And I tell you, this is the good news people need to understand, that Jesus is not condemning anybody right now. And you need to carry that message. No, the only thing that needs to happen is confess your sin. Christ came as your eternal redeemer. My redeemer live. Christ is my redemption. Christ, without sin, offered himself to God as the final sacrifice. Now, I'm taking all this from Hebrews chapter 9. Now I'm in verse 12. Christ offered himself. He shed his own blood. This was done once and for all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. See, as a Christian, as a believer, I want you to live your life proudly, knowing that Jesus has done it for you. You know, and every day when he sees you as his beloved. You see how much we love our children? We love them to life, right? And some of us to death. We might even die for them. We love them so much. We want everything good for them. Just think about it. Our Father in heaven loves us 17 times more. So on days you're feeling low, he gets it. You don't have to beat yourself up. He just wants you to try your best and make the right choice. His blood cleans your conscience from death, from dead work. Now, this is where it's very important to understand. A person who understands grace, they will understand the grace of God gives them the ability to continue to make the next right step. So grace is not a license to go and do bad things. Oh, God will forgive. A person like that, don't even, as a matter of fact, the word says it in James. It says, if you read the word and you don't do what it says, you're like someone who look at yourself in a mirror and you forget what you look like. A person like that should never assume that they're going to get their prayers answered. You wonder sometimes why people pray, and they never get any answer. God wants to answer. He wants to bless us. So his blood cleans our conscience. And I'm going to repeat it again. Live with a clear conscience. Whatever is causing, if you know, you know it. Find someone to talk to. By Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13, 14. Remember, read it at home. His death redeemed us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He died for you so you might receive the blessing. You know, I think we have this song we're going to sing before we're done today. You know, we say, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you through the blood of Jesus. God wants you to live a blessed life. A blessed life. So if I'm married, God wants me to experience blessing in my marriage. If I have children, God wants me to experience good father and children relationship. As much as it depends on me, we're going to have good relationship. Because sometimes you want good relationship, but they don't want it yet. Just wait. Keep your heart open. Your siblings, same thing. Your parents, your brothers and sisters, your neighbors. Thank God if you have good neighbors. I don't know if you guys ever pray for your neighbors. If you have good neighbors, you know, and if you don't have good neighbors, pray for them and you be a good neighbor. You be that good neighbor. And don't complain about them. When every other neighbor gets together talking bad about that bad neighbor, you better not take part of that. Why? Because you want to stand in the gap for them. You're like, you know what? That person is so miserable because they need Jesus. Oh, wow. In Christ's reality, we also receive eternal life. Because of the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, our sins been gone. My chains are gone. Our chains are gone. The awful name of the devil, the nature. Now, open your Bible. Listen to this. Open your Bibles in 2 Peter. 2 Peter. It's so good. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. Find it. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. It says, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, as we know Jesus better, his divine power gives us everything we need to live a godly life. As we know Jesus better. How do you know Jesus better? Let me ask you this. How would you know me better? Huh? Talking to me. Spending time with me. Breaking bread, eating together. See me on Sunday morning sometimes. Maybe we might have to go watch a movie together. Find common interests together, right? Because that's how you get to know someone. It's the same thing for Christ. How would I get to know Christ better if I only go to a service? Let me tell you this. You know it. I'm going to remind you. It's not enough. It's not. It'll never be enough. But if you want to know God for who he is, Christ for who he is, first place to start, reading the Bible, reading Matthew, read the gospel. It says here, as we know Christ better, his divine power gives us everything we need for godly life. That means, as I'm doing my part to know Christ, every time the Bible talks about God's divine power, it's making reference to the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit's giving us everything we need for a godly life. He has given us things we need. He has given us, He has called us to receive His own glory and God and goodness. Verse 4. And by the same mighty power, He has given us all of His rich and wonderful promises. He has promised that you will escape. Man, this is so good. You will escape the decadence. No, hang on. That you will escape the decadence. Is that what it says? Decadence. Decadence of all around you. That means corruption, right? And caused by evil desire that you will share in, and you will share in His divine nature. So, verse 5. Make every effort to apply the benefit of those promises in your life. So I have to learn the promises. And then I have to make every effort. Oh man, Lord, help us. I'm going to go back to verse 4. That word again, decadence. The corruptions of this world. The falling of this world. See, knowing His promise, God, the Holy Spirit, giving us every ability so we could escape the decadence of this world. So even as this world's failing, we need to understand, I live in this world, but I don't, the things of this world doesn't have to affect me like it affects everybody else. So when everybody else is going crazy, guess what? I am peaceful. I am peaceful. I am peaceful. Guys, I pray the Lord opens your eyes so you can see what I'm talking about. When people are freaking out, people are afraid. Well, yeah, I understand. It's tough. You intercede for them. But guess what? I stand on the solid rock. My hope is not here. My hope is not in the government. My hope is not in the governor. My hope is not in the president. So easy we put our hope in people. Because everybody's, I told you this already, everybody's looking for a savior, right? Everybody wants a savior to come and save them. And yet nobody wants the savior. Why not call out to the Savior, the only one, Christ Jesus? Wow. And make every effort to apply these benefits of these promises to your life. Then your faith will produce a life of moral excellence. A life of moral excellence leads to knowing God. You remember I asked you the question, how do you know Jesus? You see, right here, once again, the word of the Lord answers the question. A life of moral excellence would lead you to know Christ. Knowing God leads you to self-control. Self-control. So you could decide to say, you know what? I'm going to quit smoking. It's not good for me. You could decide to be like, you know what? The doctor says, if I don't stop eating a pie a week, it's not gonna be good for me. So therefore, starting from today, there's no prayer needed. Today, I wanna live a healthy life. Pie, no more. You know, I'm serious. Because sometimes we try to spiritualize everything to think, well, Lord, please come help me. Jesus is like, dude, hey, I didn't create you like the angels. I give you a will. I give you a will. I give you a will. You can choose right now. I know everybody wants the superpower to come and choose for them. When the superpower is within. Because God gives you the willpower, the desire to do the things that will please Him. But no. We want somebody to blame it on when it doesn't work. Huh? I'm talking from experience. I know how it works. A life of moral excellence would lead to self-control. Knowing God leads to self-control. Self-control leads to patient endurance. See, when you can control yourself, I tell you, then you really can endure a lot. Patient endurance leads to godliness. Godliness here means holiness. Godliness leads to love for other Christians. And finally, you will grow to have genuine love for everyone. This is it. And I think this is where I'm going to stop today. And this is the verse right here. It says, the more you grow into this. Oh man, thank you Lord for your word. It says the more, verse 8, the more you grow like this, the more you will become productive and useful in your knowledge. There are people, they have head knowledge of Christ, but they're not productive. But it says, verse 3 to verse 7, go home and read it again, or listen to this sermon again online. The more you grow into all these, you apply them in your life, the more you become productive and useful in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus. But those who fail to develop those virtue are blind. Or at least very short-sighted. They have already forgotten that God has cleansed them from their old life or from their sins. Man, don't you love God's word? In Christ is reality. You know, and we'll talk more about that later. Invite Dan to come up. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, we accept the sacrifice that Christ has done on the cross. And I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord today. You know, maybe, you know, we all can use adjustment. We all can make things better. And this morning, I'm going to ask you, you know, and maybe you need prayer or you need to repent on something. I'll invite you to do so, you know. Come to the altar. If you feel like you need prayer, I'll be available to pray with you. But Father, we thank you for your word today. And we trust you that you would make it grow, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.